5 minutes past 11, live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
It's been a good show, hasn't it? It's fantastic listening to what various mayors are doing in and for their communities. When you listen to them tell their story, you know why they get elected. They have just strong values, and they're people who are people that I admire, who have that strong leadership to create and make a difference.
And we need that leadership in times, especially of COVID. And hearing the hope from Lord Mayor Bob Dwyer and Madam Mayoress Michelle Byrne, great to hear for our area. And now we have a chance to hear again from another powerful leader in our area, and that's none other than Mayor Steve Christou from Cumberland City Council. Good morning, Mayor Christou.
Morning, Darren. Morning, Jim. How are you going, guys?
Good morning. I hope Christmas was great for you. And again, as we've said to our previous mayors, Mayor Christou, thank you for your strong leadership. I watch very carefully the things you say, and I listen very carefully, and you have very strong values, and I commend you for that. It's much easier to say what people want to hear, but you are very strong about your convictions, and I just on behalf of Spotlight, both Darren and I want to thank you for your continued work that you do in a very changing and complex world.
Thank you.
Well, let's find out. Now, this is going to be hard-hitting questions, Mayor. Very hard-hitting. Now, how's 21 looking for you? I mean, you've been through a lot of things at the moment. COVID's been very front of mind for you of late and continues to be. How are you working through that at the moment?
We're very optimistic. Yes, the last fortnight has been focused on COVID and the Borrella cluster. I feel it's been quite well contained. Council's been working very closely with New South Wales Health to try and assist any way we can contain this. We've put out letters in 8 different languages to the whole of that Regent's Park ward, which takes out Borrella as well. So, you know, we're optimistic. I think I inspected the area yesterday and spoke to local residents and local businesses in Borrella. They're saying it's slowly picking up. It was dead for a week and a half, but they're saying every day they see a small improvement.
Your days must be jam-packed with your mind going from that to making sure that businesses have the opportunity to continue in some way to keep employing their staff. I know how important that is. You've said that many times to us. And for them to create, to keep, you know, chiselling out the lifestyle that they so wonderfully work so hard for in your area.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the well-being of our local residents, whether it be, you know, normal citizens or our small business owners, is our priority at Cumberland City Council.
And I know that very, very much. Mayor, tell us about Australia Day. How's that taking shape at the moment? It's only a couple of weeks away, and I know that's at forefront. You're doing a lot of things to try and ensure you can do the best you can, and your staff and management and councillors.
Look, I want to emphasise, you know, we've probably seen all the media kerfuffle of what councils might or might not be doing. At Cumberland City Council, I'm focused on delivering a great Australia Day for our local residents. We'll be having our traditional citizenship ceremonies during the afternoon at the newly built Granville Centre, and we'll be doing those in person under a COVID safe plan. Then from 6 o'clock onwards, we'll be moving to Holweed Gardens, where we'll be holding an Australia Day event. There'll be live performances, food, fireworks, you name it, all under a COVID safe plan, which our fabulous events team have put together. There'll be hand masks at the door, hand sanitizers being handed out at the door. You know, what more can you ask for? I feel that, you know, Australians have been through a lot. COVID's been around now for well over a year. And just before COVID, we had the most devastating bushfires this country has ever faced. So I believe we've come to a point where you just can't keep cancelling and shutting down things now. We just have to accept that for the foreseeable future, COVID's going to be around, and we have to live with it. So I feel it's important for people's mental health and pride that we continue now, you know, planning and holding events in person under a COVID safe plan.
Well, congratulations, and we thank you for you trying to do those things for your community amongst difficult tasks and difficult times.
And personally, Jim and Mayor, I feel as though we're on the ramp up towards managing this situation. We've got vaccines that will come out hopefully early March for the general population of Australia. Australia has invested in that. Thank goodness for the federal government taking that initiative and securing those vaccines for Australians such that we can get back to life.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
Mayor Christo, tell us, what are some of the big ticket items over the next couple of years that really is at the forefront of your dreams and aspirations for your community? What things are you really wanting to try and have completed in the next couple of years?
I want to focus mainly on improving the quality of life for our local residents, delivering infrastructure. The Neil Street Precinct in Merrylands is about to be finished in the not-too-distant future. We'll be delivering the Wentworthville swimming pool at $11 million. The Granville Park rugby union upgrades, equipped with a function centre. That's costing us $12 million as well. So just a basic overall improvement of our local area, including the basics, maintenance of footpaths, maintenance of roads.
And when you say those things, I was quickly doing a tally. You know, we're talking $30, $40 million. People need to understand the commitment that you do in terms of expenditure, the commitment you do in terms of the vision you have for your community. And their particular asset development is, you know, for the next 30, 40, 50 years' time. And we both Jan and I applaud leadership that takes on that commitment, because it's easy to be in a position where you can be the flavour of the month for a year or so on and just forget it, spend everything and move on. But you don't do that. You make very deliberate and strong decisions to build the community that you want for your people.
Thank you. I firmly believe that as an elected representative, you've got to represent your people and, you know, sometimes make decisions that are tough, unpleasant, but needless to say, decisions that need to be made. And I'm very proud of our back-to-basics approach in council, and I believe our community has seen the benefits of that. You know, we're not involving ourselves in areas that council shouldn't be involving ourselves.
No, you...
No,
I was just going to say, you've always made that very clear, and that's where you put the line in the sand. We might go to a little break and come back to you. It's just really heartening to hear all the things that you continue to do. I'd like to find out a little bit more when we come back with regards to Wentworthville Swimming Pool, because that's been an icon in the area, and I'd like to know how that's going to fulfil some really important things. So let's go to a little break now and come back. We've got a great song.
Live 90.5. Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 18 minutes past 11 Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
We have on the line, and really delighted to kick off 21 with a person who has great empathy and great inspiration for their community, and of course that is our Mayor of Cumberland Council, Councillor Steve Christo. Mayor, tell us about Wentworthville Swimming Pool, because that's been an area that I grew up with, and I'm really interested in your thoughts and when it will be open and so on. It's exciting.
Well, it's being refurbished as we speak. We're hoping for an opening in early February. We've spent $11 million on it. There'll be a cafe there as well. There'll be a 50-metre pool, more of a child swimming pool as well. It'll be great for the local area and something Wentworthville needed.
Oh, absolutely. And I know the importance of people learning to swim. All of those programs are critical within your community. You see that as being a priority.
Absolutely, we do. Absolutely.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. In terms of 21, Mayor, what are some of the items that you're continuing to develop? As you said, you talked about what's happening in Hill Street and so on, but what other things are you trying to give breath to give inspiration to during this year amongst the complexities of COVID?
We just want to keep up the morale of our local residents. You know, we believe we should be trying to continue life as normal, and we'll support our community any way we can. So nothing really specific, just overall in general. Just, you know, by doing the basics right and being available to any resident that approaches council with any issue.
I think that's very worthwhile. In terms of the business in your community, and I'm saying about the businesses like manufacturing and so on, because you have a large area there that takes on that. What are your dreams for that? Because they're big employment items, and they provide such a level to the GDP of our community. What are you trying to do there for efficiencies and trying to promote business in your area?
Oh, look, we're doing a whole range of methods. A method I like is I pick a local business and I'll advertise it in my Daily Telegraph column. You know, we believe supporting our small businesses because they're the backbone of any community's economy. And, you know, we've been offering rent relief on council-owned assets that businesses are renting off us if they've approached us and they've proved financial hardship due to COVID. We've waived outdoor dining fees. You know, we haven't reinstated those yet. So that's where we're at the moment, and that's how we're trying to support our local businesses the best way we can.
I think that's absolutely fantastic because there are strong, very tangible ways in which you are trying to share the burden of COVID. So again, both Darren and I, on behalf of Spotlight, thank you and congratulate you for making those big decisions, because they've got consequences. People need to understand when you make a decision, it has a consequence. You waiving fees means that's less revenue. It's not a very difficult equation, which means other things need to be reprioritised and so on. So, again, both Darren and I thank you for making those hard decisions that reflect your commitment in terms of leadership. One area that I want to focus on at the moment... On Monday, a very good friend of Darren and myself and many, many, many people, Don Steen, and they were very instrumental and very... the Steens have done a lot of work in Wetherill Park and a lot of that, their brothers and so on. He passed away on Monday and raised the whole area of palliative care. And I'd be really interested in your thoughts with regards to palliative care, particularly at Westmead, because I know you're very strong about that in terms of your thoughts, Mayor Christo.
Look, I think it's a shame, and a big shame, that there is no dedicated palliative care unit in New South Wales' biggest hospital. You know, when other hospitals seem to have them, I just can't work out in a day and age where we call ourselves a first world country and in other areas where money is being spent, why Westmead Hospital can't have a specialised palliative care unit. You know, end of life is a very sensitive topic. Not only for the person that's approaching the end of life, but also for their friends and family. And people deserve to die with dignity. Now, at the moment, there's no dedicated palliative care unit. So people are either going to a specialised hospice for end of life care, or their loved ones are caring for them at home with the assistance of a nurse. And I don't think that's good enough.
And Mayor, I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to put it out there with Darren. Darren and I are looking at each other. We had Lord Mayor Bob Dwyer talk about it and echo the same sentiments with regards to the importance and significance of having our own palliative care at Westmead.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility, Darren, could we put it out there that our mayor's put together a letter to Minister Hazzard or to our Premier or someone?
I'll interrupt you there. I've already put out a letter to Minister Hazzard. I've done an article with the Sydney Morning Herald
Thank you.
I'm happy to continue advocating along with my other mayor colleagues on this issue. But the letter's been sent, and I'll continue to advocate very strongly on this because I believe Western Sydney residents deserve dignity when they're approaching their end of life.
And interestingly, if I can just leave you with this, on one hand, we applaud Westmead Precinct going to have 16,000 employees of, you know, varying types, and yet one of the most important parts is that end of life. It's part of the natural life cycle. As much as it is sad, it's part of that life cycle that we all will have to take on at some stage in our life. And yet, you're right, we seem to be knee-jerking with regards to this. Darren, your thoughts?
Yeah, Jim, my thoughts there about health and Westmead is that health is about community. It's not about business. And from my understanding is that the lack of palliative care at Westmead was a business decision that just doesn't match what the community wants, wishes and needs. And I've been following the petition that went to the New South Wales government, so an official petition on government website. I think it got about 1,200 signatures, and that has some consequences now. And so we'll follow that and we'll report further about what the government can do to answer this call from the local community of Greater Western Sydney to call for palliative care at Westmead.
Thank you. And Mayor Christo, thank you. And sorry that I didn't know that you'd sent that off. That's my misunderstanding. But
nothing to be sorry for, mate. Please.
No, but just going forward in the sense that I know your strong views about it, and I really should have said, I should have thought that you'd have done that in your capacity as mayor. But what I'm saying is I think it would be really great if we could get a collective and move on this, because what happens with palliative care, and a wise man told me, you don't come out of there, out of palliative care, generally speaking, you come out in a different way, and that's in real time. You don't wait around and say, oh, look, we'll do that in 3 months' time. You have to deal with that. And I was speaking with Don Steen's wife this morning, Shirley, and they had to go to Mount Druitt. So in the midst of all of that, trying to find comfort for Don in his last hours, if you like, of living. So thank you very much for that. I can't believe time has come to an end. We're hoping to have you more and more on our show and on Spotlight throughout the year. I hope you can join us. I know how busy you are. And thank you for all the things that you do and continue to do for our community. And we want to know what you continue to have as aspirations and dreams for your people. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Have a great day, man.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Good.
Alive 90.5.